Senate Bill 115, if anybody's interested in looking it up, and it deals with the numbers of kids in unlicensed in-home daycare. And this bill has been around since, I think, even before I was elected to the House and started in 2009. And the bill came about as the result of the death of a four-month-old infant, Nathan Blecka, and his mom was actually here a few weeks ago to testify in support of this bill. So, you know, for 9 years now, at least, we've been looking at this bill. And this hearing brought this bill back to life, which is really important. After Shelley Blecka's story came out about her son, Nathan, Nancy Cambria from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch did an expose about all the very young children and babies that were dying in unlicensed in-home daycare centers. And the reason that was going on, or at least one of the reasons that we could attribute that to, was that there was sort of a loophole in the law that said you could watch up to four kids that were not related to you, young children, in your home. But in most cases, in a licensed daycare center, that was the maximum. You would start to need another teacher or another care provider in a licensed center. In these unlicensed centers, what the loophole was is that if you had children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews that you also wanted to watch, because they were related to you, they did not count in the total number of children that you were watching. So you could have four kids that you were taking for pay. You could have four babies or four two-year-olds, and you could also have six, however many kids that were related to you that were also very young children, babies or toddlers or even infants. And what we know happens is it's really difficult to watch that many young children, particularly babies, at the same time. I mean, consider the fact that these infants and babies, they can't even walk into the room and let you know there's a problem. So this bill, among other things, seeks to limit the number of children. Once you start taking in kids for money, it limits the number of children under school age that you can watch in your home at a given time. So it limits it to four, which includes your family members. So if you have two kids of your own that are under school age and you bring in a child for money, you can bring in, under this bill, up to two children, because your two children combined with the two that you bring in for money represents four children under school age. The reason I keep saying under school age is because we know some people homeschool. We don't want to penalize them just because they take care of their kids who are old enough to go to school in their home. When you're old enough to go to school at 5 or 6 or 7, we know that you have a little bit more independence in terms of getting around and expressing the fact that you might need help. And that leaves the caregiver the time and opportunity to really keep on top of what's going on with the infants and the babies. So we passed the bill through the hearing. It will be put on the calendar to come to the Senate floor, and we're looking forward to doing that. And we had testimony from National Council of Jewish Women who have been supporting these bills for years, their goals being to work and support and advocate for issues that support women and children and families. And also Shelley Blecka, as I mentioned, the mother of Nathan, who lost his life at 4 months in an unlicensed in-home daycare center. In addition to that, this week on the House side, a House committee passed the Falun Gong bill. That is the bill, as you recall, that we had a hearing on last year, that in China, there is a lot of organ harvesting going on. And people even from this country go there to replace organs that they have that are damaged or diseased. And it is an incredible number of organs. And people who practice Falun Gong, which is a spiritual, it's more than spiritual, it's a lifestyle, but it includes spiritual and physical, recreational kinds of activities. Practitioners of Falun Gong, who are in great number in China and here in the United States, have been persecuted by the Chinese government, and they believe that these organs are coming from people who are part of this organization and this movement in China. So the availability of all of these organs on demand to customers is frightening. It doesn't align with real numbers of people who are dying. It aligns with some other idea that maybe they are being taken from living human beings. So we're trying to stop that, and we're trying to encourage the Chinese government to stop the persecution of people who are practitioners of Falun Gong. So again, that was heard and passed through a House House Committee. Finally, we're going to get up to where we spent most of our time on the Senate floor this week, which was with Senate Bill 43. We sort of were trying to come up with a clever name for it, and we called it the Don't Bill, because you can be easily discriminated against even if you belong to a protected class under Missouri's Human Rights Act. But if you're a person of color, if you're a woman, if you're someone over 50, if you are disabled in some way based on your religion, all of those ways are, without these protections, people get discriminated against and can be discriminated against. This bill, Senate Bill 43, deals mostly with workplace considerations. And currently, Missouri had a really, what I would call, a very progressive law that says if you are discriminated against for one of those reasons in your workplace and then fired, you're allowed to sue the person who did the discriminating against you as well as the business you worked for. And you have to prove that it was a contributing factor to your firing. That is current law in Missouri. Under this new bill, you can only sue the corporation to get a remedy for your firing or your harassment or discrimination in the workplace. Because you can only sue the corporation, it can be likely that you will not be able to sue in the state of Missouri, that you will go to federal court because many corporations located here have their headquarters elsewhere, which means you will be filing against the headquarters of the company and you will go to federal court, which, as we know, is much more expensive and a much more difficult process for the regular Missourian like you and me to be able to get through. In addition, in the original bill, there was a because of or but for standard that said it has to be proven that the reason that you were fired was based on one of these classes that you fall into. Through negotiation, we got the bill sponsor to move back to, he kept saying he wanted to align with federal standards. That was even more stringent than federal standards. We got him to change that portion of the bill through the negotiation process to move it to that discriminatory practice needed to be a motivating factor. So still a motivation, the main factor in your being discriminated against and then fired in the workplace. Still not as good as Missouri's current law, because what we know will happen is that discrimination cases will continue to exist. People will not be able to necessarily access a Missouri court, and there's a higher standard to prove that you were discriminated against. So this bill, to me, once again, pitting the corporations and the corporate business owners against his or her employees in an employee's effort to be heard to seek recourse for being fired because maybe he or she was black or over 50 or a female or because of his or her religious practices. So this is a bill that I'm concerned about, because this, coupled with some of the other bills that are moving through the process, like the one that forces many employees into arbitration instead of accessing their day in court, these result in putting the employee at a real disadvantage in cases where he or she is being mistreated. And I don't think that that's good for working people in the state of Missouri, which is why, with my colleagues, we stood up against this bill over a two-day period, including until 3 a.m. Wednesday morning. I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned that it limits a whistleblower's ability to get recourse should he or she report on something illegal or unethical that the company is doing or is about to do. So again, the state of things in Missouri, if we want to attract and retain good employees, we need to treat them with respect, and we need to provide for them fairness in the workplace and access to the courts. We just did an in-depth podcast on this. We invited Rod Chappell to join us. Rod is the president of the NAACP here in the state, and he was really good, part of a big press conference, but really good about helping us understand the details of this legislation, why he feels like this is the new Jim Crow law reinvented, and why he believes that, again, this is bad for the people of the state of Missouri. So you can listen to that in-depth podcast on this topic at headsupmissouri.com and on iTunes. And once again, thanks for listening this week, and I look forward to presenting you with more information as the session continues.